Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
12:01, a little bit after midnight, here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer.
Lugie.
It is After Hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. The Knicks take a 2-0 series lead over the Sixers. Let's start with the good. The defense, especially in the second half, was absolutely incredible. Maxey and Paul George went a combined 2-for-12 in the fourth quarter. The Sixers as a team went 4-for-19 overall in the fourth quarter. That's a lot of credit to not only Mikal Bridges, who is playing his ass off right now, but OG Anunoby and the way he is playing. More on OG in just a second. The other good is, look, Karl Anthony Towns, when he's on the floor, when he's not in foul trouble, has continued his strong playoff stretch here. Another double-double this evening. And obviously, the 2-0 series lead that this team has taken is not only good, it is great, as they have a full, real stranglehold on this series right now as it heads down to Philadelphia in Game 3. You know, Philadelphia is going to be a desperate team. I'm sure Embiid will be back Friday night. It's, of course, a tough environment, although there'll be plenty of Knicks fans down there. We know that. But there are so many things to be thrilled about with this team right now. But as far as the bad, top of the list, number one, underlined 14 times, is OG Anunoby, who left the game with 2.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, was not seen again, was not seen on the bench. After the game, Mike Brown was asked about it. He said he does not have an update. He has not talked to the medical people yet. So we are now left to speculate, to wonder, to worry, to hope that OG Anunoby is healthy and will be back, if not Friday, as soon as humanly possible. Now, if you missed it during the game or you don't have social media or you didn't see the clip, there is a clip now going viral of when Anunoby suffered whatever it is that he has suffered here or had whatever happened to him when he had to leave the game. Anunoby goes to cut and he kind of grabs for his hamstring. And then he attempts a dunk. He ends up missing the dunk badly. To where when I saw it live, I was like, well, that was weird the way he missed that dunk. And then he put his hands up in the air and obviously subbed himself out and was never seen again. And there's been no update. So clearly something lower body. Hopefully it's just a cramp. Although if it was a cramp, I would imagine somebody at this point would say something about it, including the head coach who hasn't talked to the medical people apparently, or one of the players. I know Bridges was asked about potentially if Anunoby is out for an extended period of time, and Mikal Bridges went with the, you know, it's next man up, which is true. It's true. And Bridges is going to be a big part of that because he's played his ass off over the last three games on both ends of the floor. And in many ways, he is not as physical, of course, as Anunoby. Like, he doesn't have the strength or the muscles or any of that type of stuff that an OG Anunoby has, but he is a great defensive player, and Mikal is putting up buckets right now. 17 again tonight. What was it, 18 in game one, 24 in game six against the Hawks. You're going to see more of a Diawara. Hopefully Mitchell Robinson is back healthy, meaning health, his illness that he's dealing with. He's sick. So I would think, be back on Friday, but you never know. Clarkson for sure will chip in offensively, not so much defensively. Maybe get a little bit of more Huck Porty, Sohan, whatever the deal is. And that is assuming, you know, Cat is not in foul trouble. And it's even more important for Cat, not, and that's the second negative here, is the foul trouble, specifically the bigs. You know, in game one, it was Mitch, it was Cat. And even without Embiid tonight, Towns was still in foul trouble. And when you, if the potential, if you are shorthanded on Friday night and you already are down a starter, you definitely don't want to see Karl Anthony Towns on the bench for prolonged periods of time because he is in foul trouble. Now, Mike Brown, after the game, spoke a lot about the officiating and the whistle and foul calls. So he's trying to get that in his favor because maybe he knows deep down, hey, look, you know, maybe we don't have Anunoby. Cat's been in foul trouble. Mitch was in foul trouble in game one. I got to make sure that the officials, I publicly shame them so that we're not in foul trouble on Friday. because you know you're going to get Philly's best punch. You got a better punch from them tonight, although in the second half they had nothing left. They looked like they had tired legs. And this is a situation, I talked about it before the series. Philly has no depth. And they unloaded their gas tank to fight back from 3-1 down to the Celtics, including a Game 7 victory on the road, then the short turnaround, Game 1 Monday night at Madison Square Garden, and they got completely boat raced in that game, and the Knicks just took them to task and picked them apart. I think in large, or one of the largest reasons, is because the Knicks are a confident team right now, and Philly was just coming off a series where they had to use all their energy just to win it. You got a better effort from the Sixers tonight without Embiid. So I would imagine if you get him back on Friday, it's going to be even a bigger effort. And if there's no Anunoby, like Mikal said, it's next man up. And you're really going to have to rally the troops, so to speak, because you are going to be down the MVP of the playoffs so far for the Knicks, and that is OG Anunoby. He's been that good. And he is such a difference maker and is so important to this team. And yes, he's had an injury history throughout his career. And his ability, or sometimes inability, to stay healthy has hurt this team. You know, it hurt him a couple years ago against the Pacers. It kind of started the unraveling in that series, a series that the Knicks had completely taken control over in the early stages. And then Anunoby went down. Other guys started to get hurt, and the rest is history, as the Knicks were completely and utterly blown out in Game 7 at home. And still, what is a what-if? Look, the Celtics were awesome that year, but it would have been nice to see a healthy Knicks team play the Celtics that year. And we were kind of robbed of that due to injuries. And I talked about it last night. I've been talking about it. Not only Anunoby, how great he's been, but also, look, the Knicks have a lot of ingredients, if not all the ingredients, really all the ingredients. They have all the ingredients to win a championship. They have star players. They have experience. They have chemistry. They have depth, which Philly does not, and that's why you saw the tired legs tonight. And I think that's just going to ultimately be Philly's undoing, is that they just don't have enough guys to go to. And you're going to see tired legs, and they'll give you a strong effort. They'll probably have one, maybe two games where they just completely let it all loose and they win. But otherwise, I see the series going five at this point. And that's even if Anunoby can't come back. But the Knicks have depth, and they have everything you want. A coach with experience and health. Now, obviously, if Anunoby has to miss time, extended period of time, that gets dented a little bit, because you're talking about one of your star players, one of your starters, one of your guys that just is such a major contributor. And maybe he's not an all-star every year, but he is a star on this team because of how important he is to the basketball team and how great they are plus-minus-wise when he's out there and how much they miss him when he's not. And what the look at the record when OG Anunoby is healthy, and look at the record when he's not. The Knicks are a way better team with him on the floor. Yeah, in this series, they could probably get by without him. But going forward, whether it's the Pistons, whether it's whoever they see in the finals, you certainly are going to need the services of OG Anunoby. So hopefully, everything is okay. If it is an injury, hopefully it's minor, and hopefully he'll be back on the court very soon. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Max is in Bayside. What's up, Max?
Luby, how you doing, man?
What's happening, bro? What's shaking?
Hey, me and my friend, we driving up to Philly, getting ready, getting a head start on the Friday night's game. My girl, she's pissed at me, but you know what? I don't care. I'm probably never going to see this again, but hopefully I will in my lifetime. But hey, let's go, Knicks. For Anunoby, man, it's not, I didn't see the clips yet because I'm driving to Philly right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the A word, right? It's not the A word.
I don't think so. I don't think so. If you asked me to speculate, to guess, based on what I saw, it looked like his hamstring.
Okay. So we'll be all right if he misses a few games.
It did not look like a calf. He seemed to grab his hamstring when he cut. It didn't, but it was non-contact. Nobody contacted him. Then he went up for a dunk. I don't know if that made it worse because he clearly didn't come out right after he cut. Although it was the play was in the flow of the play, and then he obviously subbed himself out of the game. Now let me ask you this: you're going down to Philly, but you're on your way now, so you're going to spend an extra day out there. It sounds like.
Yeah, my friend and I, we're going to hit the casino. Mm. Hopefully we win some money and it'll pay for the tickets. That's the plan.
Well, listen, hopefully that's not the plan, because if you don't win, it's tough to win in gambling, and then you won't be able to go to the game. But I know what you mean. It'll pay for the tickets in the sense that the money you put out and for the tickets, and then you want to make it back in the gambling. I understand what you're saying. So, well, good luck to you for that, from that perspective. And then obviously good luck to you down there. Look, keep your, like I said before, just, you know what I mean? Keep a straight line. Don't say anything to anybody. And the people that are down there, the idiots in Philly, will in all likelihood, if they bother you, they won't bother you too much, you know?
Yeah, hopefully, like you said, it'll be a blowout. I actually want Embiid to play in Game 3.
They look
good. They look like crap in Game 1. I really do think that if he plays, they're going to be slow coming up and down the court. It'll be a nice little 4-on-4, and we'll get an advantage like we had in that Game 1 that we didn't really have in this game.
Yeah, look, they're a faster team, obviously, without Embiid, because when he's out there and he's hobbling, it's basically 5-on-4 sometimes, and he just can't get his ass back on defense or offense. I would just be stunned, because the season's on the line for the Sixers. The season on the line, and they don't have Embiid, he's not on the floor. That would surprise me. But either way, though, Max, I think you get Philly's best punch. You got a good one from them tonight, but they weren't able to finish. I think if they're going to win any game, it would be that one, just because their season's on the line. But hopefully for your sake, for my sake, for everybody's sake, it's a Knick blowout victory, and it's a party down there in Philly for all the Knick fans like you and your buddy that are going out of the game.
Yeah, man. Let's do it. Let's go. Knicks in 4. Let's go, man.
Love it.
Let's
go, Luigi. Now, do me a favor, Max. Call me back next week and let me know how the experience went. I'm very curious to hear how it goes.
You got it, man. Take it easy.
All right, bro. Safe travels, safe experience. Good luck at the casino. Good luck at the game. Enjoy it.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers. And you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been down to Philly a lot. Like I went to college in PA. I have a lot of friends in Pennsylvania. I've been to Philly a bunch of times, whether it's partying or what have you. So it's a decent city. It's all right. Nothing's New York City. That's the thing. Like when you live in New York City, the only... Nothing is New York City from the perspective of at 4 a.m., I could buy a Cadillac and or a slice of pizza. Like nowhere else in this country can you do that. And it's also an action city, obviously, with so much stuff going on. An eclectic nightlife scene. Like you could, whatever your brand of vodka is, you can get involved with it here in New York. It has everything. And it truly goes after hours, except during COVID, except during 2020. The city that never sleeps slept a little bit there. I used to say during COVID, during 2020, early 21, the city that never sleeps got older, got married, had a couple of kids, and now is in bed by 10 p.m. But I guess the guy got a divorce now, and now he's back to not sleeping anymore. He's back to hanging out and having a good time, because the city certainly doesn't sleep anymore. So from that perspective, it's tough to match New York from the crazy of like, meaning you can get a slice of pizza or buy a car at 4 a.m. Now, as far as partying, as far as matching New York in terms of the party scene, certainly Vegas doesn't have to take a backseat to anybody. Miami doesn't have to take a backseat to anybody. Nashville doesn't have to take a backseat to anybody. New Orleans doesn't have to take a backseat to anybody. I can't speak to Chicago because I've never been. I know it's crazy. I'm so itching to get there to... I don't know if I'd incorporate, I got to see Wrigley Field, and I heard Wrigleyville, which is the bar scene outside of it, is very fun. So at some point, I got to hit up Chicago. I don't see it on the radar anytime soon, but I would love to go there. I can't speak to the nightlife, but I've always heard it's really good. And like I said, Vegas, Nashville, New Orleans, Miami. I've heard great things about Scottsdale, which is another one that's on the Lou Gower list that I haven't been to. Austin in Texas is another good one. But you just can't match New York City as far as it being the city that never sleeps. Philly, it goes to bed. It goes to bed early. There's a little bit of a scene down there, but nothing crazy. Nothing to get excited about. So if you are heading down like Max and his buddy is a day early, you're not going to be ripping it up, that's for sure. And I would imagine most people aren't going down, maybe late night on Thursday, but I would imagine most, because you could do it, you don't even have to stay the night. Now, when I went down there a couple years ago with Sean and Teak and Evan, Sean and I did stay, and we were made it back for work the next day. Not that we deserve any type of medal for that, I'm just explaining to you the story. And yes, once the game was over and the Knicks clinched, and we were partying in the streets, so to speak, and we had viral videos of it, and that was back when the stuff outside of Knick games was less, because it's going down a bad path now, and J.R. Smith is getting trampled. Like, it's getting to that. I didn't see anything tonight, but hopefully everybody behaved. Everybody was definitely behaving. And it also speaks to a lot of people don't think the fans outside of Madison Square Garden are all Knick fans. It might be. I don't know. It's possible some of them are just there for clout, just there for clicks, just there to be seen, just there to be part of it. Obviously, anybody that'll be in Philly on Friday night, you're not there for clicks. You're there because you're a Knick fan. If you're going to go to that dump, I know it's a senior basketball team. It's a dump. We know that. And the people stink. It's just, it's not a great place to be. But if you're going to do that, you are a huge fan. So the happenings, the party that was outside was awesome. And then after that, obviously, as you know, your boy did a little after hours. A little after hours. Because we had a hotel, and I knew that Sean Fatso was driving the next day, so what the heck? I could be banged up. What's the difference? Wake up the next day, and I'll be at work. I always show up to work. I don't always show up in the best of conditions. Sometimes, especially back in the day, a little hungover. It is what it is. David Wells, didn't he pitch a no-hitter, a perfect game hungover? It happens. What am I, hitting a couple of buttons? It's all good. But yeah, it was a fun night. It really was. So for anybody else that's going down there Friday and you get a room on Friday night, I mean, it's awesome. You turn it into a really fun experience. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours here on The Fan, Lugie in the Late Night. Let's go to Joseph in Queens. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up? As you said, it's the next time right now. My teacher, actually, I'm in 10th grade. Mm-hmm. My teacher promised us a pizza party if the Knicks blow out.
The series, you're saying, or in a particular game?
If they sweep.
Oh, that's awesome. A nice little. Who doesn't love a pizza party? I'm not 10th grade anymore. I'm 40, but I love me a slice of pizza. I could eat pizza every day. It's not good for my stomach, but
well, you're invited.
Well, I don't know if I could attend, but I appreciate the invite. But yeah. I love me some pizza, Joe. And anytime there's an excuse to eat pizza and also celebrate a Knick victory, awesome stuff. So good job by your teacher.
Yeah, but I'm just kind of worried because, you know, like tonight was a pretty rough game and Embiid wasn't even in. So, no. Like.
Rough meaning you're saying a back and forth perspective, meaning it was close late in the game. Is that what you mean by rough?
It was way too close for comfort.
We've gotten used to, Joe, I do. We've gotten used to the idea of the Knicks blowing teams out. And I knew this was going to happen. The first game that was close, the first game that wasn't a runaway, there was going to be some people like you, Joey, that feel like, all right, maybe something's off with this team now. Just because we got spoiled for four games where the Knicks look like the best team ever in the history of the NBA. You knew that was going to level off a little bit. You knew the Sixers would give a better punch. They weren't coming off of game seven now, get a little rested. Even without Embiid, you figured you'd get, look, they don't want to go down 2-0, that's for sure. So you figured the Sixers would be better, and they were in the first half. But the way the Knicks played in the second half, and they clamped down on defense, to me, they put their foot on the gas pedal. And even though it was close, Joe, I never at any point was worried about the outcome of the game. I really wasn't. You could tell Philly couldn't hit a shot. They looked tired. The Knicks were playing good defense. And you know Brunson and or Cat will get them home there in the fourth quarter.
Oh, right. I mean, yeah, coming from you, that's very reassuring. As you said, like, although I'm not such an, like, old fan.
Yeah. Well, you're a pizza fan, too.
I do know, like, the history.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do know the history, though, and I know this is, like, you know, as you said, the city's awake right now. The city's at a strip club. You know what I mean? The city's out right now.
Yeah, so the city's definitely popping. And listen, I think it's one of those situations where 10th grade, I'm doing the quick math in my head here. You know, you as your life as a Knick fan, you've seen some good stuff. You've seen mostly good stuff. It's a good age to be. It's a good age to be a 10th grade, he said? I'm trying to do the math real quickly there. 10th grade, you'd probably be 15, maybe. You've seen a lot of good stuff. Some bad. It depends on when you started watching. Like for me, when I first started watching the Knicks, I thought that was going to last forever. I was like, oh, what do you mean they're not in the playoffs anymore? They were in the playoffs basically every year of my, when I started watching sports life. And then all of a sudden, we all know what happened. And they became the worst franchise in the history of the NBA for decades and decades and decades. Worse than the Timberwolves, worse than the Kings, especially when you consider who they are, where they play, what town they are in, what city they're in, where they come from, the Madison Square Garden, the whole deal. They were the worst. But thankfully, those days are long over. And now it is, you start to feel like, as a Knicks fan, the birthright again. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win a round. They're going to win a couple rounds. Now it's, hey, if they don't get to the finals, it's a disappointment. Think about that. And Mike Breen eloquently laid that out in one of the last games of the season about, hey, remember where this franchise was? And nobody knows it better than Mike, because Mike had to sit there during all those games. The rest of us, in a bad Knicks season, we could either check out a little bit, or a bad game, we could turn it off. When you're announcing the game, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. So Mike Breen and Clyde had to sit there for years and watch this. So nobody knows better than Mike Breen how bad this team was for decades and decades and decades. And nobody is happier, I'm sure, than Mike, too, because obviously he gets to do the game tonight. And by the way, and normally I don't get into this, but Richard Jefferson, I mean, could you put the pom-poms away for Philly? I know you're part of the coalition, but honestly, at least with Reggie Miller, it's like, well, Reggie Miller, you know, there was a little bit of a, I guess, look, I don't want to take anything away from RJ's career, too. And the Nets were good with him when he was there. So it's not like he's a scrub or anything like that, or he didn't have success, or his team didn't have success. But clearly, he can't stand the Knicks. And we know that. He's part of the coalition led by Evan. We know that. And normally, it doesn't bother me, but and Mike is there to kind of counterbalance it, which is nice. Sometimes it's like so anti-Nick, the broadcast. I try to block those things out, but for whatever reason, tonight, it just stuck out to me. I was like, all right, dude, enough. We get it. It's like he's out there coaching. All right, here we go. It's fast break. Get it out there. You got numbers. It's like, all right, they can't hear you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a loogie here in the late night. Let's just take a couple more of your calls here, because I want to get to Sean real fast. I know he's been waiting a long time. He's a huge Yankee fan. That's on me. Shawnee, what's going on, bro? I know it wasn't the best of nights for your team, but you know what? You've had a lot of good ones. So once in a while, it is baseball. Even the big-time teams, the great teams, are going to lose 60 of them. Tonight was one of those 60. How you doing there, pal?
I am hanging in there, of course. You are quite agreeable on that. I mean, it was one of those days, and Evaldi is like one of those
insane. He hasn't pitched well this year at all. But when he faces the Yankees, he looks like Pedro Martinez in his prime. It's unbelievable. He had a great year last year, but this year he's been very bad. But when he sees the Yankees, it's like 7-8 shutout innings, and it's easy work. And the Yankees are rolling. But he can go into Yankee Stadium and just completely dominate them. So he's got their number, clearly.
Yeah, he does, actually. And it's crazy, too. And I'll touch on, I did find out something about, I know we mentioned something about, like, Mr. Met the other day. I actually did the research.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Met. Yeah. Because you speculated that they might be siblings and not married.
Yes, and I did tweet to you about it. So I did look it up, and they are actually a married couple.
They are. And that's why when the dinosaur, the dinger, or whatever the heck his name is, the Rockies, the dinosaur was trying to hit on Mrs. Met, I said, Mr. Met needs to step up and be like, you need to stay away from my lady. They're a dinosaur. Aren't your people extinct? There's no more dinosaurs. What the heck are you doing here? Because he was trying to come in here with his whole dinosaur swag and trying to hit on Mrs. Met. And I thought Mr. Met needed to step up there and be like, that's what. And even, let's just put it this way. And obviously the Mrs. Met, because it's MRS, obviously it indicates that they are married. Even if it was a sister, get your dinosaur paws off my sister. Who the hell do you think you are strolling into town trying to hit on my sister? So that was where I was coming from.
This ain't Jurassic Park.
Correct. The Rockies. Let me keep talking there, Sean. I'll get his name here. Cause see, this guy's got some racket here. Dinger, that's his name. Dinger. Yeah. He came into town strolling in with his dinosaur muscles, and he thought he was gonna get Mrs. Met and take her out for a night on the town. Well, Mr. Met needed to step up, and I think he did. So we're all good.
Yeah, all right. And I'll touch on, like, the Knicks a little bit.
Sure.
I think because I heard about, like, the Anunoby's injury, and my guess is, like, maybe it's, like, I don't know, like, I didn't see, like, the game, though, so that's on me. So I think it could be maybe, like, a pulled muscle into the hamstring. That's my guess. I mean, that's
yeah, look, you know what, Sean, you didn't see it. And like I said, it's we don't want to play doctor here. It would have been nice if the Knicks had given us an update. This idea that Mike Brown didn't speak to the medical staff. You know it's going to be asked. And even if you did or didn't, whatever, but I would prefer, and I'm not alone here because it's the playoffs and we know how important Anunoby is. It would have been nice to hear something. Other than we haven't spoken to anybody about it, which seems to be like crazy considering how important he is. He checked himself out of the game, 2.5 minutes left. He wasn't seen again. The coach of the winning team normally meets the media like 30, 35 minutes after the final whistle. I would think Mike Brown would have immediately ran to his medical staff and said, what is wrong with Anunoby? What are we looking at here? And even if they didn't know for sure, although by watching it, you can kind of tell what body part it is. I would think if you're Mike, think about this. We all want to know what's going on with, that was all anybody was thinking about, talking about. Obviously, the win was amazing, but then it's like, what's going on with OG? What's going on with OG? What's going on? You're telling me the head coach of the team? You're telling me Mike Brown didn't ask anybody on his medical staff what was wrong with my, come on. So it's one of those things where, all right, they hiding something? What's going on here? It'd be nice to know. Eventually, they're going to have to say something. I know when it comes to the Knicks and injuries, they don't like to tell you a lot, but at some point, they're going to have to indicate to somebody somewhere and put something out there what is going on. And hopefully, it's nothing too serious. And it's just a no biggie, and he's either back in the lineup on Friday or on Sunday. And we could all collectively take a deep breath. Speaking of, it has gone final in Colorado. Mets 10, Rockies 5. As the Mets are now 4-1 in May. 4-1. We'll get into the Mets later on this evening. Obviously, some more of your calls on the Yankees. But the big focus is the Knicks as they take a 2-0 series lead. If you're heading down to Philly, I'd love to hear from you. Even if you're not, I'd love to hear from you. But the phone number to call to get into the conversation is 888-808-1019. I already see a bunch of people lined up. We will get to you. We have another 90 minutes here on After Hours. 888-808-1019. Once again, that is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
12:32 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Lugie.
It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to your calls on the Knicks in just 1 second. But first, The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Cooking easy as 1, 2, 3. Discover how at chefiq.com. It has gone final in Colorado. The Mets 10, the Rockies 5. Juan Soto led off the game with a home run. A tremendous button pushed by Carlos Mendoza, by the way, putting Soto in the leadoff spot. And I know that's something that Evan, I'll give him props for this, has been talking about since last year. Not only on this radio station, but of course on the Rico Abreu podcast. And I don't think he has much of a relationship necessarily with Mendoza, but I don't know if Evan slipped him a note in study hall and said, Mendy, listen, I don't know if you know this, but the team could use a spark offensively. How about you try putting Soto in the leadoff spot? And we remember when Lindor was put in the leadoff spot in 2024, the team took off. Maybe now with Soto in the leadoff spot, we get the same type of result and this team could take off as they are now 4-1 in May. Carson Benj continues to both offensively and defensively. He's been phenomenal and you're starting to see why he was so highly thought of. And I'm not going to make this a defense of David Stearns evening because I don't think we're there yet, but this is his player. And you're starting to see the type of player that he would draft and that he would mold and that he would bring up to the big leagues. And Carson Mensch has been awesome lately, really good, both defensively and offensively. Simeon obviously had a monster game, 4-for-5, the home run that he pimped. I mean, that one was hit pretty deep, the two-run shot to give the Mets even more breathing room late in the game. But it was an awesome night, and it was just another notch here in May as they are now on a three-game winning streak. And it really, they should be undefeated. And look, at this point, you want to win every game because obviously of the hole that they dug in April. So every win now is, and every game is so important because of the start that they got off to. Now, winning series, that's what it's all about. That's the name of the game. Ultimately, if you do that throughout the year, you are going to October. But you would ideally not let games slip away like they did on Saturday to the Angels. But we're also talking about a 4-1 stretch. And when you consider how it went in April, I think everything is quite positive so far in May. And you're starting to see things come together. I talked about the rotation a couple days ago. I see the rotation now as a strength. You know, they sent Senga basically away on the IL. You have Christian Scott up here now. Peterson looked good in the piggyback role. Perhaps that'll be where he settles in. Tobias Myers wasn't awesome tonight, but he's been great all year. And now they're at the point where no matter who they're throwing out there, really, especially if they do the piggyback with Peterson, you feel good about it. You feel very good about it. We know how awesome Holmes has been, Nolan McLean, Peralta. The bullpen has been very good, and now all of a sudden, 10 runs from the offense, you start to score runs. When you put up 10 runs, you put your team in a great position to win baseball games. And even if it got a little dicey there in the end, no sweat. 10-5, the victory, 3-in-a-row, 4-1 in the month of May. Keep it going. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Just like the Knicks need to keep it going as they head down to Philly for a game 3, we are awaiting. We won't get anything tonight, but we're awaiting. I mean, it would have been nice to hear something from the Mike Brown about it, but we're awaiting an update on OG Anunoby. I would assume by tomorrow there will be something put out there where we can have a feel for what's going on. Like, all we know now is 2.5 minutes left in the game, subbed himself out, wasn't seen again on the floor, wasn't seen on the bench. There is a clip going on social media that somebody was able to find exactly when it happened. And if you haven't seen it, I can transcribe it for you verbally here. He went to cut, Anunoby did, and he kind of pulled, he kind of grabbed for what looked like his hamstring. And then he went up for a dunk, missed the dunk, and then put his hands up in the air. So went for the cut. When he non-contact, grabbed what appeared to be his hamstring, went up for a dunk, missed the dunk, and then took himself out of the game. And then 30, 40 minutes after the game, when Mike Brown met the media and was asked about it, I believe by Ian Begley, first question out of the gate, Mike Brown said he hasn't talked to his medical staff yet, so did not have an update for any of us. You could take that in many different ways. All I know is we don't know what the heck is going on. But I do find it tough to buy that, because think about it from my perspective as a Knick fan, your perspective as a Knick fan, we were all wondering what happened. Where'd he go? I mean, they didn't mention it on the broadcast unless I missed it. And I double-checked with a bunch of people watching the game. I'm like, have they mentioned anything? Certainly seems like they didn't. So nobody mentioned anything. Not that they're going to have an update, but just, hey, OG's not out here. Where is he? But think about if we were all in Mike Brown's shoes. Obviously as Knick fans, but also as the head coach of the team. At least in my eyes, the MVP so far in the playoffs for your team, a guy that has had a laundry list and a long history of injuries, he appears to have a non-contact situation and then takes himself out of the game. You're telling me between 30 and 40 minutes after the game, he doesn't talk to anybody from the medical staff about what's going on? That wouldn't be immediately what you go do? Now, that's probably not protocol for a coach after every single game, but in the playoffs, with one of your starters, a guy that is so important to the team, you don't bother to ask anybody what's going on? A little tough to buy. I'll keep a positive mindset with it. Hopefully, I don't think it's a cramp. They would have said it's a cramp. I know that's like best case scenario. If it was cramps, we would know about it. So it's obviously not cramps. I don't think it's a calf. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just going off of my eyes. I don't think it is, which is what I hate doing this. It's like speculating. If the coach would have just told us what was going on, I wouldn't have to sit here and go, I think it might be this. I think it might be that. But he didn't grab his calf. He grabbed his hamstring. So, and you know, people say this all the time. It's cliche, but it's true. Hamstrings, much like backs, can be tricky. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But overall, a very positive night, even for the Yankees. Come on, look, Evaldi's got your number, but the team is rolling right now. You're not going to win every single game. Even if you win 100, 105 games, you're still going to lose 55, 60 games in a season. The Yankees have been on a complete roll here. They're back at it early, well, later on today, as it was, for the final game here, day game against the Rangers. Weathers is sick. He will not make the start. Paul Blackburn will make the start in his stay there with the Yankees. Let's go to Ryan in Kent, Connecticut. What's up, Ryan?
Yo, what's up, Tommy, man? Yeah, I got a couple points. First, I want to hit with the Knicks. And I mean, if you just even look at the box score, you could see OG was playing basically. He was the big at the end of the night. I mean, Towns, he's the one that almost had the triple-double. He had 20 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. The bench, I mean, they had a good rotation, but it was mostly the starting five that came in. And, you know, I think that first quarter, even with Mike Brown, with the whole ESPN, you know, the interview thing, there were a decent amount of, the refs were too much into it in the beginning of the game. But at the end of the game, you think, you know, Josh Hart came in, he played the most minutes, he didn't really score much, but I mean, man, he's just so electric, right?
Yo, listen, he doesn't have to score much to impact the basketball game, whether it's defensively, whether it's the one-man fast break, everything that Josh Hart does. He's one of the rare players in the NBA that could score 8 to 10 points and have a major impact on the game because he does so much of the little things. He's a lunch pail guy. You know, he's a hard hat type of guy. He's just energy. Like, at times I've joked that they've cloned Josh Hart because he is the most well-conditioned athlete I've ever seen.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the guy just never seems to be tired. He hurt his hand today. The guy puts duct tape on it, basically, and gets back out there. He's everything you love about a basketball player, especially in New York City. Like, Josh Hart just embodies what this city is all about, the toughness, the grit. And what more can you say about the guy? He literally is the heart of the team. I have so many great things to say about the guy. He's terrific.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm very happy with the game, too, for the Knicks. I hope we sweep them and, you know, we keep it rolling.
Yep.
But I want to hit your point with the Mets. I haven't called since opening day, my man. And
wow.
I mean, the Mets, I know the Mets.
A lot of ground to cover.
What we thought it. Yeah. But I'm with you, man, my man. It is May. May is going pretty well for us. Juan Soto, home run, kind of starting the game off here. Let's keep it. It's early.
Yep,
October. Please, October's so far away.
Yep.
Let's keep the Mets. Let's turn it around here. Let's go. Let's go, Mets.
Appreciate it, Rye. Love the enthusiasm. I said this after April. It was a bad month. I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The Mets did not have a good April. But it doesn't mean they can't have a good May. And so far, they're having an excellent May. And then from May, you could have a good June. And all of a sudden, things can... Look, we think back to 24, just as a reference. And where they were at going into Memorial Day. Obviously, Memorial Day is a couple weeks from now. If this team can continue to play well, they would probably be right around where they were Memorial Day, but playing way better baseball. So they would have already turned the corner. And you also think about, and I'm not saying that there aren't necessarily some things that led to this start besides what I'm going to say, but when you lose Soto, when you lose Lindor, you're losing star players for multiple weeks. you know, that's going to take a toll on a team, especially a new team with meaning a lot of new faces, trying to build that chemistry. And I said this from the get-go when things started to unravel a little bit in April in the losing streak. I said, this happens to baseball teams. The Yankees had the worst record in baseball in June, the year they went to the World Series. The difference there is that, and Yankee fans were livid, and I'm sure if we go back, there were plenty of Yankee fans that waved the white flag. But when you have the success the Yankees have had and the consistency, they get more rope, number one. Number two, it happened in June. Based off of last year, especially in the second half, and the offseason that wasn't exactly popular in terms of all the decisions that they made and the people they let go, especially the way they went about it, it didn't sit well with a lot of people. So the last thing this team needed was a slow start. The last thing they needed. If they had had a bad June, yeah, people would have brought up last year, oh, no, here we go again, here we go again, because there's always that PTSD. But they couldn't afford a slow start because it would just be craziness. And that's what it was. And in some ways still is with people, because people are still complaining and talking about players that aren't here anymore. You would think they broke up the 27 Yankees, which is the way some people act. And I love those players. I'm not suggesting I don't love those players, but come on. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time. And I know we are in an impatient, not only society, but the state we live in. You ever driven around here? Everybody, you go down to like Maryland or Virginia, people ask you how you're doing. You know, how's it going? They wave at you. Around here, they just tell you you're number one, but they don't use the proper finger. Just the way it goes. That's cool. And that's the way we're wired. All good. But sometimes you have to take a step back and say, you know what? I don't want to hear it's only April. Well, it is only April. So you're going to hear it. That's the truth. And so far, it's been a much better May. And things, not only victory-wise, but other things are starting to turn around a little bit. Offense scores 10 runs. Soto in the leadoff spot's been a nice wrinkle to this team. Bench is getting it going. The rotation is pitching well. The bullpen is settling in. You got rid of some of the things that were kind of an issue on the field in terms of production with Senga. You'll get Polanco back and Robert Jr. back and Lindor back, and all of a sudden start stacking some wins and some series wins. You look up one day and it's like, okay, they're close to 500. Oh, they're 500. They're a little over 500. And all of a sudden, got a baseball season again. So what momentum they have right now, 3-game winning streak, 4-1 in May, keep that going. Much like the Knicks have to keep the momentum going as they head down to Philly. And look, I understand this wasn't a blowout victory, but really, I, for one, and I only speak for myself, I wasn't worried about the game at all. When I'm watching it, I never for one second felt like the Knicks were in trouble or they were in danger of losing the game. The Sixers had a much better effort, especially in the first half. But in the second half, in particular the fourth quarter, the defense for the Knicks was just off the charts. And whether it was Maxey, whether it was George, whether it was the entire team, they had no shot. They were taking bad shots. They looked like they had tired legs. Even when they had open looks, they weren't falling. And I just felt like at turnovers, not saying the Knicks played the crispest offensive game. They didn't. Obviously, Anunoby leaving with a couple minutes left never is going to help. When he's not on the floor, that's not a good thing. You want him out there. But I know it wasn't a blowout victory, and it wasn't the steamrolling effort that we've seen recently. But it is tough to keep up that pace. And the mark of a good team is even when you don't have your A-plus game, you still find a way to win. And they've been great under the lights of MSG all year. Let's go to Don in Fort Lee here on After Hours. What's up, Don?
What's up, Tom? I got another nickname for you.
What's up? What do you got?
Tommy Gunn.
Tommy Guns.
Tommy Guns.
Kind of like in Rocky, right? That was the guy he fought in Rocky V, right? Tommy Guns?
Exactly. Tommy Morrison, exactly.
Yep. Correct. Yep.
So, a couple of things. Anunoby is such a strong dude, and his muscles are wrapped so tight, he's just more vulnerable to these types of
injuries. Stanton. He's like Stanton.
Exactly.
Yep. He's almost too yoked up. He's almost too jacked.
Exactly. It's just his genetics, I think, but... So I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I've been watching the playoffs and, you know, throughout the whole season and the playoffs, and and I talked to, you know, friends of mine. And just today, I told my buddy, I said, listen, this team is going all the way. I said, barring injury, they're going all the way. So I'm a very conservative bettor. I don't like to lose $10, let alone $100.
It's a good way to go about it.
Yeah, so I finally decide, listen, I'm gonna pull the trigger. I'm gonna put $100,000 in the Knicks. They gave me a 20% kicker, you know, on over that. So I think $100 pays like $1,180, right? With the 20%.
That'll do it. Yep.
So the thing is, Tommy, you got to find out what time. I know there was 2:45 left in the game when he got injured, but what time was that? Because my bet was put in at 9:38. I finally pulled the trigger at 9:38. A minute later on the radio, I hear that Ananobi's he's back in the locker room, and I'm saying that's the kiss of death. The minute I put the bet in, he gets hurt.
So you want to know from when you put the bet in to when the Ananobi injury occurred, like how much time was in between that?
Correct, because I put the bet.
What time was the bet again?
9:38.
9:38. Yeah. Right, I'll write that down. 9:38, and then I'll check. I'll get to that. I almost don't want to get it for you because I don't want you to feel worse or like you mushed it or like anything like that, because you didn't, obviously. And you put, you know, look, obviously, some people go about it different ways there, Don. Some people do the emotional hedging, you know, where they bet against their team to make themselves feel better. They figure a pocket full of cash will make the loss go down a little bit smoother. And some people like to ride the wave of their team and they want the double satisfaction of the win and the money. But I'll check that out for you at some point here, and I'll spread it out on the radio. But I mean, you feel bad about it in the sense of the money, but you know what? They still got a great shot here, and we just don't know about Ananobi. That's the thing. You would feel a lot more at ease. I would feel a lot more at ease. Everybody would feel a lot more at ease if we got some type of update tonight. Unfortunately, the Knicks were unable for some reason to provide us with one.
Yeah, I think Brown may have known something, but he just didn't want to let the Sixers know. You know.
Yeah, that was my sense. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to flat out. I'm not trying to call the guy a liar, but I find it extremely hard to believe for whatever reason. He didn't say it for whatever reason, but I find it extremely hard to believe that he didn't inquire about the health of OG Anunoby between the end of the game and when he met the media, which was at least about a half hour or so. You're telling me he didn't talk to anybody on the medical staff, or the medical staff didn't talk to him? Wouldn't it be their job to talk to him? So I'm not buying it. For whatever reason, he has his reasons, so I'm not calling him a liar. I'm just not buying what he said because I feel like he's hiding it for whatever reason.
Exactly. I don't believe it either. He had to know something. He was just probably told not to say anything.
So it's like you said, it's either they don't want Philly to know, or it's they're, again, I hate speculating like this, they're fearful of something and they don't want to put it out there. They want to get their ducks in the row. Maybe he's going for imaging and MRI, and they want to make sure they know what it is before they put it out there.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Because it was right. Non-contact, and I appreciate the call, Don. Good luck with everything. Obviously, good luck with your bet. We all hope you win that bet. I speak for all Knicks fans when I say, hopefully Don and Lyndon hits that bet and hits it comfortably. Because you'll be a richer man, and we'll all be very, very, very happy and satisfied Knicks fans, because we will be celebrating a championship, and I would imagine most of us will be attending the parade. But that's a long way to go, and yeah, the Anunoby thing, I try, because I was sitting there waiting and waiting to hear from him, because I was like, because I remember when Soto got hurt, I remember when Lindor got hurt this year, and I wanted to hear what Mendoza had to say. Because if it is nothing, if it's a no biggie, if it's cramps, if it's day-to-day, the coach, the manager, they want to get that information out there, don't they? They want to get it out to everybody as quickly as humanly possible to calm everyone down. Wouldn't you? All right, it's just cramps, or he had a little bit of a thing, but it's all good. We're fine. He's going to get a little bit of therapy on it the next day. Should be a good to go on Friday, day to day. But he didn't say that. He said, I haven't talked to the medical staff yet. It's like, okay. And we know his non-contact. We know he appeared to, if you watch the clip, it's all over social media, or you just caught it live and had that kind of eagle eye and saw it. Because it was quick. It was one of those situations where Ananobi cuts. He grabs what appears to be his hamstring, and then he goes up for a dunk. So it all happens kind of quickly. It's not one of those situations sometimes where you see a guy get hurt, and obviously he's favoring it, and you can tell right away. Like, he went into a basketball move after that. But the dunk was missed. He goes up for the dunk, misses. It almost seemed like he made contact with one of the Sixer players, might have been Paul George, on the dunk. I don't know if that affected him as well. And then he put his hands up. Anytime a player does that, not a good sign. Because most guys, you know, they got to be dragged off the court, especially in a playoff game. And he knows his body, and obviously he has a long injury history. I'm hopeful, I'm positive, as you know, and because I know how important he is to this team. And I certainly hate speculating like this, because it's just not the way I like going about things. But heck, I have nothing else I can do, because we have no answers. And we likely won't get an answer till, I would say, early morning, maybe at mid-afternoon, I would imagine. Marash will break the glass. Do they still do that on Evan Tiki? I don't know if they got rid of that bit. They'll break the glass with news. But as I put my head on the pillow this evening, I'm not going to know. And Knick fans that are either have done that already or are about to any minute, as soon as they, you know, go to sleep, they will not have an update either. But on a positive note, the team is up 2-0. There's a lot to love about what they're doing on a basketball court right now, for sure. It's not perfect, but it's damn good. And the Sixers are a team that lacks depth. They just seem like they're gassed. Obviously, unloading in the gas tank in order to get to this round. They just don't have enough guys to compete with the Knicks. But injury here, injury there, it could not necessarily even up the series or anything like that, but it means the Knicks will have to rally without Anunoby. And no Anunoby for this team over the years, whether it's regular seasons or playoffs, has been an issue. We'll see if Philly can take advantage of that. I think the Knicks can win the series without him, but I would not be thrilled if he is missing a series after this and beyond. Like, that's not good. Even though Mikal Bridges is playing awesome, he's playing his best basketball as a Knick, you still need OG Anunoby. This team is at their best because of the five starters. They have the best starting five in the Eastern Conference. And you lose one of those guys, that's tough. And if you lose them for a long, long period, even tougher. So hopefully, whatever it is, it's something minor. Even if you feel like you got to hold them out. Like, I had a caller earlier, and he brought up a great point. And I think they're going to be careful with Anunoby, because they're always careful with him. Whenever he gets hurt, he's day-to-day. Meanwhile, 12 days later, he's still out of the lineup. So they're always very careful with him because of how important he is and also because of his injury history. But when you consider they're playing a team with Joel Embiid, who's a dirty player, and if you're up in this series, they go up 3-0 and Anunoby's good to go, I'd probably be like, you know what? Let's just get through Philly here without you, and then we'll get you back from the next series. Because Embiid is capable of anything out there, especially when they're down 3-0 and they're just desperate to make a point. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. Got another hour to go before 2 a.m., excuse me. Gordon Damer comes your way at that time. Plenty of more opportunities, though, to call about the Knicks, to call about the Mets, to call about the Yankees, whatever's on your mind for the final 60 minutes here on the Fan. The phone number is 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie in the late night here on the Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.